Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
I was reading a commentary this week that this first Sunday after Easter is sometimes called Low Sunday. I wonder if you feel that after we've, you know, finally get to, after this long journey of Lent, and then we get to this big celebratory declaration last Sunday. It was so wonderfully loud and bright and beautiful. And then we kind of go back to our normal routines and our nagging worries, our constant concerns, our losses, and Easter gets a little bit pushed out of our lives. There are supposed to be 50 great days between Easter and Pentecost, the Easter season, to celebrate this risen Christ. Yet we often dip and land on Low Sunday instead. And the early disciples did the same. Jesus' disciples had been told by the Marys that they saw and they touched Jesus and that Jesus was alive. But the disciples, they had experienced the Mary's joy and awe, but they really didn't know what to do with it. So they opted to lay low. They all met in one house, closed the door, and locked it, afraid. I mean, perhaps the same religious leaders who led Jesus to be crucified would arrest them. Fearful, they closed the door and locked it. However, the good news about the Easter season is that it is full of grace-filled surprises, even if we are laying low and feeling low, closing ourselves in, locking the door to the outside world. That's okay, because Jesus comes in anyways. The Easter season is all about Jesus making these surprise, grace-filled appearances to those of us feeling low, confused, fearful, doubting. Jesus didn't even need the disciples to be in an open posture, eager and keen. Jesus appears and offers himself over and over again to those least expecting it. In our story that Dane read, the door was closed and locked, and Jesus came right in. The substance of his resurrected body was more real and had more weight to it than the wooden door. Jesus came, stood among the disciples, and said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his wounded hands, the hands that had the nails driven into it. He showed them his wounded side, the one that was pierced by the sword. He did this so that the disciples would know it actually was the Jesus that they knew from before. Now, one of my favorite books that I read this past year was called My Body Is Not a Prayer Request by Dr. Amy Kenney. Have any of you read or heard of that book? My Body Is Not a Prayer Request. Dr. Amy Kenny, she's a scholar, Shakespearean lecturer, she's a Christian, and she has a body who experiences pain all the time. Most of the time she uses a wheelchair, although she says her disability is generally not the worst part of her day. The subtitle of her book is called Disability Justice in the Church. And in her book, she speaks of the many ways that the church dismisses the gifts and perspective of those who are disabled, as we see disability only as a weakness, or tongue-in-cheek, seeing her disabled body as only a prayer request. She powerfully writes how disability in the scriptures, rather, were written about people who encountered and saw God. She reminds us that we worship a disabled God. Jesus' wounds from the cross were evident even in his resurrected body. Jesus' resurrected body was not completely perfected. The wounds were, in fact, the thing that brought belief and hope to the disciples. Our story repeats itself again. Even though the Marys told the disciples that they saw the risen Christ, the disciples didn't believe it until they saw it themselves. Same story happened again. Even though the disciples tell Thomas that Jesus appeared to them, because Thomas wasn't there at that time, Thomas doesn't believe it until he sees Jesus himself. The Easter story is not really proving to have any staying power at this point. But that's okay, because Jesus appears and offers himself over and over again. It's a week later. The disciples are in the house again. The door is closed again. And Jesus comes again, more real and more weighty in his resurrected body than that wooden door, and says again, "Peace be with you." The focus is on Thomas now. We hone in on one person, and Jesus makes it really explicit this time. "Come, you, Thomas, touch me. Touch the hole in my hands. Touch the wound on my side." It's real, tangible stuff that Jesus is offering here. I am the crucified Jesus. And when Thomas saw these wounds, we don't know if he really touched them or not. It doesn't actually say. But when Thomas saw them, he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." You know, note the shift here. He confessed not only Jesus as teacher, as master, but moved into God, Jesus being divine. He saw and believed in the crucified, risen Christ as God. Well, these surprise appearances of the crucified, risen Christ remind us that we do recognize Jesus in his wounds, that God is a wounded God, a disabled God, where grace and faith and belief shine through. We're not offered a perfected, hard to reach, hard to touch God, but a God who has been through hard times and is offering grace and mercy through their own suffered through body. We have a God whose wounds are real. The violence done in this world is honestly acknowledged by this God. God doesn't make wounds magically disappear. Wounds are a part of the story. We worship this wounded God. I think it's hard to get our minds wrapped around this. We tend to want a God that makes all of our wounds and disabilities disappear in the world, or at least prevent them in the first place. You know, it's hard to get our minds wrapped around a wounded God, because those are the parts of ourselves that we do not want to focus on. Yet it is through Christ's wounds that life and belief and hope are found. And there is more. And there is more. When the crucified, risen Jesus appears to people post-resurrection, Jesus shows them his wounds and leaves them with breath and purpose, new life and new meaning. People are not left behind closed, locked doors. Jesus calls followers to receive empowering, healing, peaceful, creative spirit. And with this spirit, to go and forgive. Jesus moves people from closed rooms and closed doors to being sent into the world with sustaining power of his spirit to do the works that Jesus did. Now, the one thing that struck me in this story is that you don't even have to be open to receive these bursts of grace-filled surprises that the Easter season holds. That's a relief, isn't it? There are so many resurrection appearances in those 50 days. Jesus appeared over and over again, offered his breath to sustain, commissioned those to live out the ways of Jesus on earth. And he came to people who were in shock. He came to people who were in grief. He came to people who were paralyzed by fear. Others later on were expectant, were open, and waiting to see the crucified, risen Christ. But it's not a prerequisite. We are just offered these 50 days of Christ appearing as grace. How do you connect with this story today? In your life, post-Easter celebration, where are you in this story? Are you closed behind a door? Are you at the point where you're feeling that breeze in the fresh way? Are you receiving the breath of the Spirit? Or maybe you're retaining forgiveness from someone who needs it. Or maybe you feel this pull to be sent from this story, to do a Jesus work in your life. Or are you needing a tangible touch from a God who knows wounds and suffering and disability? And then are you like Thomas, proclaiming or reclaiming faith, my Lord and my God? There's so many interesting places to be in this post-resurrection story. Where do you place yourself? I'm just going to read those questions again. I'm interested in how you connect with this story. In your life, post-Easter celebration, where are you? Are you closed behind a door? Are you receiving the breath of the Spirit? Are you retaining forgiveness from someone who needs it? Or do you feel the call to be sent to do some Jesus work in your life? Or are you longing for a tangible touch from God who knows wounds and suffering and disability? Are you wanting to proclaim or reclaim faith? Where are you in this story? The story is invitational for wherever we're at today. And I'm just wondering if you wanted to share with one another where you're at. No pressure. I just wanted to give opportunity. If you wanted to share or just name, it doesn't have to be profound, just something where you find yourself in this story post-resurrection. I'm interested in where we're at post-resurrection in this story. Maybe, Tobias, you can put that slide up just to give you some prompts. As you reflect on this story, where is it that you find yourself today? Just as a few people want to share with each other. Does anybody want to share with the whole group? this is an experiment. I'm new with you. You're new with me. Thank you, everyone, for sharing where you're at. It's really helpful to hear from one another and to receive and to see the crucified, risen Christ in each other's lives. And I encourage us all to, as we move into this Easter season, you know, we're invited to look for these tangible, real, embodied places where Christ is and where Christ is calling us to act. Let's practice the resurrection together. Join me in prayer. Crucified, risen Christ, come on in. Come on in here at Grandview. Stand here among us. We are all in different places in this story. Some of us feeling quite wounded. And we need to know that you have wounds too. And that through these wounds, you give us breath and life and belief and hope. So we invite you to touch us in the ways that we will recognize and know it is you. Come, Jesus, stand among us. Amen.